Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. I'm your host. As always, you can listen to us on the radio, dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but we're now streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, and X, the Everything app. We're also streaming audio only on the Odyssey app, the TuneIn Radio app, and the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How's it going?
Oh, it goes. My company is each and every Wednesday. He's my basketball coach. He's your basketball coach. He's also Team Thad's basketball coach. He's the director also of Team Thad. Follow him on all socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, good day, sir.
Great day. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to all. We'll start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Want to get Coach's thoughts on the Tigers and Vandy tonight, 6 p.m., early start. Believe you can see that one over on the Deuce as the Tigers wrap up the last big home game of the non-conference schedule as they host Vandy tonight. Also, we've got some coaches confidential, college football playoff style. Want to get some discussion on that. Also, I think the Knicks might be heroes. I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, I find myself wanting to thank the Knicks and the Lakers subsequently in the last 2 weeks. I'll tell you about that. Jason Munn's going to join us during the next segment. He'll get us ready also for Vandy and Memphis tonight. Get into the list during hour number two. Grizzlies and Minnesota tonight in Minneapolis. Ja has been downgraded, but perhaps maybe we'll see the debut of Brandon Clark, the season debut, I should say, of Brandon Clark. Tua Tagovailoa has officially been benched for the Dolphins. The ACC is trying to address their schedules, but it's also just in typical ACC fashion. So we'll talk about that during the list. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, George, let's fire it up. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Coach, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Vandy ain't played nobody.
What is Reddit again?
Go to Reddit's basically just going to Reddit is like going and trolling on a message board.
And
just going to a message board,
and
basically.
Short is what a little.
Short's betting against it. So if you think that if they have played people, short it. If you're kind of like, maybe not, just sell it.
Sell it. Because I think
That feels like the right answer.
Yeah, not the crazy quality, but I do think they're still a pretty good team, though. That's why I'm kind of on the fence with it, like. I think they're still a good team, if that makes sense. I think some of the teams they might have beat was supposed to be a little better.
So, I'll go through their wins quickly. Lipscomb, UCF.
Central Florida.
Correct.
That's a Big 12 school.
Eastern Kentucky, Pine Bluff, Texas Southern, Western Kentucky, VCU, St. Mary's, SMU, and then Central Arkansas.
Some of those wins, so if you're an average sports good, fan, yeah. you might not know, but those are some good schools, Jeffrey, when you say, like, even a Western Kentucky is probably going to be a tournament team this year. SMU has it crazy, but we talking about SMU in the ACC?
Correct. 9-2 on the season.
Schools like VCU, I don't know if people realize, like, those type of A-10 schools. So I think that's a fair schedule. It ain't as crazy as Memphis then been, but then SEC.
I did not realize this. It's UCF's only loss.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. That's a big – Johnny Dawkins, that's a big 12 school.
They have wins over A&M, Pitt. That's kind of their – they certainly scheduled to win at least early. And then St. Mary's, I think Gonzaga's back ahead of them, better than them, but they're going to be like – they'll be that fringe. If the West Coast Conference gets the second team in, they'll be – although Santa Clara, that G League guy – turns out if you were a professional basketball player, you can make some noise in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, yeah. But St. Mary's got the same coach, right?
Still got Randy Bennett, yep.
Coach, come on. Everybody know if you play St. Mary's, you have to beat them. They're going to be well coached.
I do think, though, they have gone away from the Aussies, the Australians. It feels like now they're more like in the Balkans of, like, Central Europe.
Okay, they didn't change their coach.
They got, like, some, like, Izauskas. Like, you got like a lot of those. You got that. You've kind of changed some last names.
But they really kicked butt last year. I think that was one of the first years that they're like dominated. Usually they go back and forth. Did they dominate Gonzaga last year? Or am I wrong?
I think they beat them three times.
And usually.
Gonzaga got them in the tournament.
In the tournament. Yeah. Yeah.
But they beat them. They beat them in Gonzaga. They beat them in Spokane. And then they beat them at home.
They're just recruiting two places. Australia and Lithuania.
Yeah, that's
it's just
yeah.
Australia and right, Lithuania. Yeah. You got a bunch of Aussies.
When I was in college, the girls would show up. Like, why do the girls show up for the St. Mary's game? Like, nobody goes to the Pepperdine basketball. It was usually just like me and like my roommates, like heckling my buddy that was on the team, and the girls showed up because they had all the Aussies.
Yeah. I say this.
He's so cute.
That's smart of them not to take away from Americans because I do this kind of for a living. I bet they're dealing with a lot more low-maintenance recruiting guys.
Well, this is something, because I want to pick your brain on this. Because I do think Penny's in a tough spot here. Because if we're going to live in this universe where a top 20 roster is going to be $9 million, $10 million or more, I just don't know how Memphis competes in that universe. So when you start looking at, okay, who are some of these programs that have found a way to kind of maybe outkick their coverage or, you know, do more with less financially, it seems like the way they've been doing it is going international. Because I don't think they command as much money because there's also, you know, there's visa issue, you know, in terms of like if you're here on a student visa, there's only, you know, you're capped at how much money you can make. Also, a lot of these internationals, they're part of their national program and they're kind of funding a lot of it, so that seems to be, I'm not saying that they work for free, but it does seem like, I'm going to guess the Lithuanians didn't cost as much as AJ DeBanza.
For sure, and you say they don't work for free. Technically, the way the rules say that we all supposed to be playing ball for just a scholarship, and then
correct.
NIL.
Or just for our name, image, or likeness, yes, correct.
yeah.
You know what we mean.
Technically, mm-hmm. Right, outside of the collective.
Yes, of course.
But, no, you're right, and I haven't kept up with them lately. I think if Memphis and other schools, you have to find a creative way that makes sense. Because one thing you do know about, you know, Jeff, this is about sports with your dad being with baseball. Football can get a little tricky because you got to have linemen.
There's so many players you got to have.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just go get, like, four guys and be like, all right, let's go get them.
Let's do it, right? Yeah. I think in football, that's the lineman is the difference between the levels because I think it's some swag schools that got some wide receivers that's good enough, you know, or some DBs or quarterbacks, but the line is the difference. So I say with basketball, we know this, if you get you a good group, Jeffrey, like you say, three, four guys that play well together, they have chemistry, they coach in your system, you can have some success. I haven't kept up with them lately, though. You remember a couple months ago, me and you talked about UT Martin even pulled it off. They went to a country that no one knew about and didn't they beat like two, three high majors? to start the year off. Now I don't know what's going on now because I haven't kept up.
So they beat UNLV. So right now Martin's 8-3. They have wins over UNLV, Bradley, something called Brescia. It looks like something you'd order at an Italian restaurant. They are not ranked in KenPom, but I mean they. You know, they're 8-3, and in the Ohio Valley, I think they're going to be a part of it.
A chance to go to the tournament even, maybe. So they were doing – now, I don't know how to take a UNLV win or loss anymore, guys. Like that, if that was a stock, I wouldn't know if it's worth a lot or not at this point, because UNLV kicked our butt, some more people. Then they just lost to TSU. I don't know if you.
Yeah,
you
I saw that. I'm kind of willing to give Josh a pass just because he's missing three of his top four guys.
When they missing people against us?
Oh, no? Yeah. I think also you can safely say this. Memphis didn't show up that day, and Josh's guys played really hard for him that day.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like one of those sleepy Sunday afternoon games where everybody's like, is red zone on?
But why do that happen to us, though? Like, because you didn't say it's a sleepy Sunday before, but you got to come play ball, don't it? I ain't just talking about Memphis. No. I'm just talking about Pierre. We get caught. Because then we lose
what
to
happens,
Arkansas
it happens
State
to Memphis.
On a Wednesday. I'm on a Sunday, you said, that time?
Sleepy I think that Sunday. Was weirdly a sleepy Tuesday.
Oh, that was a Tuesday.
That was like a Tuesday at like 8.
Okay, it was one of those.
But the sleepy Sunday has happened before.
Yeah, it didn't happen before. Like, what is it? Like, you got to come play ball.
I think it's as simple as, like, they get up for the big games and they tend to overlook the other ones. It's what's scary about this team because I have felt that they're all along for me, the path for this team being a tournament team was handling the conference. And if you are one or two in the conference, you're all the way advanced to Saturday of the tournament and you got to win two games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't really take the league seriously, like I think there's enough teams that they're like, there are enough teams that if you're not serious, they can probably pop you, and I don't know how that's going to go.
Call me naive, Jeffrey. I still think we're going to win our lead.
I agree with you.
I think.
I will say, though, I think this next 2 weeks is interesting because do they stay together? Because you have the Louisville game from Saturday. Who knows what happens tonight? Like, do the losses start to pile up?
I thought we was back happy before Saturday.
You know how this city is. Like, we overreact to everything. Like, we're just drama queens. Like, when they win a game, it's like, move over, Final Four.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they lose a game, it's like, fire everybody. Like, we have these massive swings with basketball.
Now, to the crowd defense. Now, this have been a massive swing type of a year, but they do this anyway. And I didn't see a blowout. I was expecting more of a, especially after the Baylor win, like a hard playing game like the Purdue game was.
Yep.
So when it started getting the feeling like a 30 piece, that can get your spirits back down.
It can. I guess to me, what was surprising about it is if you would have just told me the final score, I would have said, okay, they kicked the ball around. They didn't take care of the basketball. They gave up a bunch of easy baskets. They probably didn't rebound all that well. They probably didn't play hard. The thing was, it's like, they didn't really get beat really in any of those statistics. Like I think they only had like 11 turnovers. And if you have for a Penny Hardaway team, 11 turnovers, like that's A plus. They just got absolutely bombed from three. I mean, I think it ended up being like 50 something percent from three for Louisville. And I think they made 18 of them. So if this team gets into a jump shooting contest, I don't like their chances.
No, that's right. And like you say, in Louisville, did, like you say, make a lot of shots. And you saw last night without that point guard.
18 of 35 from three.
Yeah, you get blowed out like that at any level. Yeah.
I mean, that's NBA teams, if you hit 18 threes, you're good.
I mean, that's like 50-some points, I believe. Like, you can't, you know. That's
54.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a lot of points, Jess. And they scored 90, so.
They made 30 shots and had 24 assists, too. So, I mean, they were running good offense. It wasn't just like, all right, bombs away, but they were getting good shots. I don't know. I guess part of how you feel about this basketball team was expectation-wise. I did not have extremely high expectations. I thought that they could be the best team in the league. I still think that that's entirely possible. But it's kind of like, if you're just in the middle of, well, let's see. Like, I've not seen anything that tells me they outright suck. I've not seen anything that suggests to me that they're like a second weekend team. But you know what I mean? Like, that's, I guess maybe that doesn't make great radio analysis.
No, but you're telling the truth, though. And that's what this is about. That's why I love your take so much. But I feel like if I was giving them a grade, right, like you say, or they was a player.
Yep.
If I was a team, maybe they, C plus.
I was going to say, B minus came to mind. So B minus, C plus. We're in the same area.
I ain't going to lie. I mean, it sounds crazy. I used to like B minus. As long as it said B or A, however it took it, if I was in the low end of the B, that's like somebody staying in the older house in Germantown or Kyrie. I mean, I'm still in the neighborhood. So B minus, that's good. I think that's good. Yeah, I think that's a good team in the Bs.
If the Baylor win's going to be a good win, is it going to be enough to like carry a resume? No. But it also suggests that this team's not horrible. I just think, I don't know. I feel like they're in such a delicate, I think it's a complicated time for Penny. Because I have to think whether or not it gets stated, you have to know that Ed Scott's future, Bill Hargrave's future, their legacies could be cemented by getting this team into, getting the school into a better conference. If they got them into the Big 12 or the ACC, there will be in line for statues. You know what I mean? Like, that's how big of a deal it is. But I think you also have to recognize, well, that probably means football is going to take priority. Mm-hmm. And so when you're at a school like Memphis that's not sitting here and making $120 million of revenue, and you're at, what, I think 50, I think they're in the 50s in terms of revenue. Well, I mean, how do you compete at the highest level of basketball?
Yeah, that's definitely. But I do think going to a bigger conference, it happens every year. I don't know if you remember, Jeffrey, people up to Andy. You know, when TCU first got into, you know, TCU was in a super mid-major conference. They were probably like
TCU was in, when easy for me to say. TCU was in CUSA when Memphis was.
Yeah.
So, and then they went to the Mountain West, and then they got into the Big 12.
Yeah, so they was in the Mountain West. They was look, so usually the standard, like even Houston.
When LaDainian Tomlinson had that 400-yard game, Mountain West.
Mountain West.
Yeah.
And even like Houston, right? Houston, as big of a city it is, the schools are kind of small town. Soon as they get in the Big 12, I was up there at a practice. When I say they start putting money into the facilities and putting Big 12 everywhere, so it's like getting a new job, Jeffrey.
Well, I mean, to your point, this is what happened to SMU. The day that SMU announced that they were in the ACC, like they got like $150 million of donations.
Yeah, so I'm not scared. We just need to get to the big conference. I think Memphis have enough love that if we get to a big conference, some money will come, right? People like, let's be real, Jeffrey, it's crazy. They say the rich get richer. People actually like to donate to nicer things than they do to people who need it.
It doesn't feel like you're lighting money on fire.
Yeah.
No, I definitely agree. I think the problem, though, is what is the path? Because I understand the decision makers have their eyes on the Big 12. And it makes sense why they do. It looks the most stable. If you're talking the future of everyone outside of the SEC and the Big 10, the Big 12 looks the most stable. Because mm-hmm. who knows what the ACC is going to be and or for how long it's going to be. The Pac-12 that has eight teams, like that doesn't seem to be like they're going to hit the ground running. The Mountain West has kind of been raided, but it feels like it just kind of is what it is. But it's like there's no argument really that the Mountain West is any better than the AAC. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the issue is getting over that hurdle. Like the quote that we had when Memphis was trying to, you know, buy its way into the Big 12, which is, well, what's changed in 18 months? Like that was one of the presidents from one of the other schools. What's changed in 18 months? I don't think anything's really nominally changed now, and I don't really know how you make a better case other than if the Big 12 just decides, like let's say the Big 12 gets very worried that for real the Big 10 and the SEC are going to break away and do their own thing. Well, what if their strategy is let's make as big of a league as possible and they can't deny us. Like if we're going to have Kansas, like that presumably that conference is going to want to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your strategy would be make like the biggest conference of the best of the rest brands, maybe. But then it's still, to me, it's dependent on, okay, well, what really happens in the ACC? Because if the ACC just straight up blows up, well, there's going to be people that are going to be ahead of you in that line. I'm very curious, what happens to Duke in 2035? Are they a Big 12 team? Because if you're the SEC and the Big 10, are you really all that concerned with Duke? When everyone wants to talk about basketball, we're talking about 10% basically of the money that is guiding every decision they make. And it's entirely possible in 10 years, football is going to be even more of the money.
More of the money.
Of what we think. And I'm not trying to belittle basketball, but I'm saying if I'm trying to predict what a conference is going to do, like Duke is a fascinating case study to me.
For whatever reason, though, I still think it's certain schools that people want to be, they want their brand around. They love their academic level. I mean, ACC loves academics.
Well, I mean, to your point, there was really no reason for the ACC to take Stanford and Cal other than it's kind of highfalutin
SMU.
Academic. It's like, yeah, it's like everyone's, well, SMU, they basically just said, like, here's $500 million.
Yeah.
And the ACC
but they
like,
got good
correct.
Academics too, though, SMU.
But it's not at the level of Stanford or Cal.
No.
If I can get in there, it's not Stanford or Cal.
No, exactly. Well, Jeffrey, let me say this one thing about the game, too, and I want to go into what you just said also. I do think tonight will be more of a mixture of somewhere in between Baylor, Purdue, and Wake Forest. I think it's going to be a steady battle game that Memphis will have a chance to win. Now, the other questions you're asking about how we're going to line up to get in a better conference, I don't mean to sound like this. Somebody that you want to feel sorry for you or something like that. But I'm going to be real with you, Jeffrey. I think we didn't got on the side of now they're trying to make it more prestigious or make the guidelines harder or push the field goal back now because they have the leverage. But Louisville, the Cincinnati, the Central Florida, they hadn't done nothing else either. Hadn't done nothing else either to get in some of these conferences. But they were able to get in it, whatever boost got them in, whatever vote. And it helped them from there. Them schools for 80% of the school history was at the same level as Memphis. The same level, or Memphis would be, is bad. Central Florida never had anything. Although it's
Central Florida wasn't even really a school until like the 60s.
Yeah, like they've been considered, even though it was.
I think they just started playing FCS in like 96.
Yeah, and I didn't even notice
at the time.
Ago,
one, D1A.
They was the they're the biggest school in Florida, but they had no respect. Like they.
It's like a, you know, they call it like the commuter school, or, you know, it's like it's a joke in Florida.
Oh, because anybody can get in.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. So
like, the future Hilton night managers or something like that. It's like,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's they also are one of those schools that have so many of the little satellite campuses all over the place. So like that number of students, go to Orlando and see how many people are actually there at UCF.
And so I get back to that president, Jeffrey, what have we done, 18? What have any of them schools done the last 18? You know what I mean? And so it's like.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. I'm looking at it from the perspective of trying to gauge what they would do. I definitely think it's an unfair standard. Like, I think that what they're combing through Memphis with, they're not holding up, honestly, like their own members to. But I view it also as, this is what you're up against.
Because why did we get left out of the last Big 12 when they brought in Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati? And what was the deal with that?
Their argument was TV-based, but, like, it didn't really hold up because Memphis' TV numbers are pretty good. Then they tried to kind of say, well, it's not necessarily your TV numbers, but your TV market, and it's like, all right, well, obviously Orlando, Houston, like they're bigger television markets, but it's to your point that you just made, it's not like the city of Houston is leading today with what are the Cougs doing? You know what I mean? Like it's like,
and I'm not sure Cincinnati is a better city in TV market than Memphis, is it?
It's bigger. I think what they would also, they wouldn't say, but I think to be true is Those schools got more money. Like, when it came down to it, Cincinnati, like, redid their stadium, and not, like, redid it in the sense of, like, us, where we're basically just blew up, like, one side from the 20s, and we're going to redo that. Like, they basically gutted their entire old stadium and built a new one. Houston's stadium is not that old, maybe 2012, their football stadium, and then you were at practice. Like, they, even though the building that the basketball arena is, it's not brand new. Like, they gutted that thing and made it's a, for all intents and purposes, it's a new arena. And then UCF has just been doing nothing but building facilities. And then BYU was that team that nobody wanted to deal with because of, like, the religious aspect. But if you're sitting there and you're desperate and you need a team, it's like, okay, all of a sudden BYU looks good because it has a national fan base and they have more money probably than those other three schools combined.
Yeah, than most of them. And now, is this true, Jeffrey? Somebody told me back in the day when Memphis, Louisville, Cincinnati was killing it, right, in basketball, Louisville thought, before Memphis thought, they had already started building a new put money into football. They had already did that.
Yeah, yes. So, because this is one of those talking points Jeff and I have spent a decent amount on. It's very convenient to blame R.C. Johnson, the former AD, and Shirley Raines, the former president, although I got nothing good to say about Shirley Raines. The reality was, even if somebody could have made a pitch, or, guys, football's the future, made that pitch, the decision makers, the money people, the boosters are like, yeah, we don't care. We're going to keep funding basketball. And so where Louisville... And honestly, Cincinnati, too. Like, Cincinnati has hired good coaches since, like, before the Fickell era. You know, they found Brian Kelly. Mm-hmm. They found Butch Jones, brick by brick. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, almost every hire they made other than Tuberville from, like, Brian Kelly on was a good hire. And so, like, they cared about football. And then UCF is just, they've tried to make athletics kind of their calling card. Like, this is how they're trying to, like, get their way into relevancy has been athletics. And so with Memphis, it's not necessarily that they strategically went away from football. It was just that the people that you were going to have to convince, like, that just wasn't going to happen.
So we was in a tough spot all the way around.
Yeah. And then you did run into a situation where football... It went from everyone always kind of inherently knowing football drives the bus to all of a sudden it's like every decision in basically a decade was made based on football. And that just caught some people flat-footed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it is. I will say this, that although we didn't talk about football much, some people that I know that love the University of Memphis, they actually been going to football and basketball games for a while.
They still have a bigger fan base than basketball.
Yeah, yeah. I know
in terms of people that go every game, it's still bigger.
Yeah. People that support it, even if they wasn't liking the team and they was just going for family outings, like, people
100%.
Would show up to games and, you know, chill out and stuff like that there. But I think we'll get somewhere one day. This city gonna throw a parade that day. I'm talking about, like, we gotta let everybody out work. When we get into a PFO, like, everybody meet downtown.
So my thing is, it seems to me the most likely scenario is whatever happens to the ACC. That seems to be the best bet. The question, though, that I have is, if you're... Let's take Duke. And let's say that the SEC and the Big Ten both decide, like, we're good. We don't really want Duke. Now, I would also point out, there's a reason why Duke's been spending in football. I think Duke knows this is an issue, too. Mm-hmm. And Duke's not just trying to do... Like, they're not just acting like football is just something to do till basketball season tips off. Like, they have been spending in football to be a contender in the ACC. But if you're Duke, do you want to try and rebuild the ACC and have a league be one that you run, essentially? Or would you rather just go and join the Big 12 and be a part of, like, the best basketball league and then, you know, the third best football league?
You know what? I think Duke would have their options, because I don't know why this just popped in my head. I don't see the SEC doing it, but I see the Big Ten kind of inviting Duke. If someone, I think I could see that.
So, I mean, the reality is what does Fox think? And Fox has been investing more in basketball. And so you could talk me into it. But I think the other issue you're going to run into is like, all right, well, how big are the Big Ten and the SEC going to get?
Yeah.
Because right now the Big Ten's sitting here at 18. Everybody wants Notre Dame.
Everybody wants Notre Dame.
I think both of them want North Carolina.
They were saying somebody wanted Virginia.
Virginia is definitely higher on the pecking order for the reasons that you've been talking about. Like, if you tell average sports fan that actually like just watches sports, Virginia is going to be more desired than you would think. And it's for the academic prestige. Also, even though it's like not close, it gets you enough into the DC market. Like that's a newer, that's the SEC wants it because the SEC views Virginia as a better school than like Harvard. Mm-hmm. Like Southerners, like that type of like rich white guy that is making decisions at the SEC office, they revere UVA more than they do Harvard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so like there's always going to be that connection. But I don't know. I mean, you'll talk to other people that'll sit there and go, hey, part of what North Carolina was doing with Belichick and all this was they were worried about how they would look at the prom. Mm. And so they were trying to spend in football to make themselves look prettier.
ACC actually got some good schools, though. If they don't,
they have very good schools.
Because they got Florida State still. I'm sure somebody will want them easily. They got Miami. I'm sure somebody will want us easily. They got Clemson. I mean, they have really good schools outside of, I don't know who would be, well, who would be considered weak, NC State, Wake, but I think them schools have value.
Pitt probably doesn't have a ton of value. BC probably doesn't have a ton of value.
That's a really good academic school, too. All the ACC schools really.
Well, I mean, even look at a school like Syracuse, while maybe they don't have a ton of, like, brand value, every television executive in the world went to Syracuse.
That's what I'm saying. They said they're one of the most powerful brand and people that went to Syracuse or whatever.
If you ever see somebody on TV as a commentator and you go, like, what did that person do? Usually the answer is they went to Syracuse.
That's major.
I mean, that's – so, you know, is that going to – but then I guess there's also the question of, well, what if the breakaway is football only? And let's say they're all going to play their own football, and then maybe we'll have conferences in other sports that make sense. I don't necessarily know how that works. To me, it seems like the way that that would work is you're going to have to have the leagues give up their TV rights to a certain degree, because part of it is like part of the whole SEC network idea is every sport is pooled together so you can have content all the time. So for it to work, you're going to have to figure out a way to break off football, and then who, like, is it the schools themselves getting the money? Like, I don't know. And then can you reconstitute new conferences?
See, I always thought Memphis' best fit was to take a step further, was to maybe, even though it's about football, to get the other sports all go to the Big East and let's just work out football, how we can work it out.
And it's not a bad idea until you look at the spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Big East teams, I think they make like $6 million a school. And right now, the Americans paying them like 10 base. So, like they can make more, obviously, but like they're basically going to get 10 to 12 million. Like it's tough to make it work. Because so then you have to also, then you got to remember, you're also funding your own football program.
Well, no, I would still put them somewhere.
It's tough because a lot of those conferences, they want the whole thing.
But the Big East is something they're doing. I don't know the answer, Jeffrey, but when I talk to college coaches, they tell me that in basketball, the Big East have more money than some.
Well, they're also that's been their talking point. By the way, there's not a lot of proof of it, but here would be the argument. Since they don't have 100 football players, they're not sharing that massive bulk of revenue. So even though it is a smaller number than what the SEC schools and the Big Ten schools are, they can use a higher percentage
of basketball. And it's been working because I know some coaches in the P4 that have been complaining about UConn and St. John's and them outbidden them. Like,
I guess this is where I would always say, I think we have to put UConn and St. John's in a different bucket, because UConn is basically funding basketball, losing money. Mm. And then St. John's, are you familiar with Mike Rapoli?
Yeah.
The vitamin water guy. He is a St. John's grad, and they hired an Italian basketball coach. And his last name is Rapoli. Yeah, yeah. And he is worth several billion dollars. So that also is helping St. John's basketball. It's not necessarily how they're dividing up the revenue of the athletic department.
Got you.
I mean, I will say this. Penny's easiest solution. Just go do this, Penny. Here's some free advice. Go find you a billionaire that is just going to fund your whole team.
I actually think if he hires somebody, a PR person, it is even though people be on him, it's a lot of people that, well, when you become a coach, you become liked and unliked, but it's a lot of people that love Penny Hardaway that got bred, I know at one point, that really, really was infatuated.
Well, my question, because I'm with you, I think if Penny gets you in the room and starts talking to you, you usually open up your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is, do we have said person that is basically, because you got to remember this, you're not only trying to find a rich person, but you're trying to find a rich person that is going to go against every instinct he or she might have, which is, I'm just taking this money and I'm burning it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get any return on it. It's just basically, I can't own my own team, so this is the closest thing.
So let me ask, if you give into a college, though, won't that at least help? Can you write that off tax-wise?
So, used to be yes. Now, I can't remember if it was Biden or if it was Trump, but then they started taking back the tax break, and then I think also if you give to a collective, it's a note, because I think the collectives now have to be, the collectives have to be organized as for-profit.
Mm-hmm.
So originally, the schools thought they could get away with the collectives being nonprofit, and so that you could still donate your money and get your tax. Well, then that got shut down by the courts shut that down immediately. And so, basically, no.
So you got to be burning
the money. And it's not like, you know, okay, well, if I invest in Hurd, when Hurd makes the league, Hurd's going to give me 5% of his first contract. Like, no one's negotiating. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know, maybe that's a universe. But the problem is, if you decide to be the first school that tries to get creative like that, to maybe incentivize some rich people, like, hey, maybe the people that are not necessarily, like, I'm not really in the business of just taking $10 million every single year and not expecting anything to come from it. Maybe you would try the, well, they have, like, because you see this in other sports, like, golfers will do this, tennis players will do this, like, you can invest in the rise. The problem is, if you would try to be the one school that does that, well, every other school you're recruiting against is like, oh, no, here's the money for free.
Yeah, and basketball and football is so messy, and it's so entitlement, and people and their parents are so used to getting over on people from when their kid become a phenom at an early age that school would get blocked off too, because now you're stepping in the middle of agents, businesses, and everything.
Correct.
Now if you're got to get
them stop doing business with
them. You see what I mean? Yep. And so now it gets a little tricky in this sport.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk with Jason Munns. Tigers and Vandy tonight. We'll discuss it next with Munns right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them.
Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Check out The Commercial Appeal's Tiger Athletic podcast. Also follow him on the Everything app at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, we are listening to a band called Ride, and it's a song called Repetition.
What's the time frame here? It feels like there's a lot going on, like 80s vibe, but the guitars are not really 80s.
Yeah, they Ride sort of rose in
I see what you did there.
Sort of late 80s, early 90s shoegaze scene, and then they sort of morphed over the years into different sort of areas. And I think this is like sometime in the 2010s.
This guy kind of sounds like Jim from Jimmy Eat World, right? The singer?
I get some of that. Yeah. But it's somewhere in either the aughts or the 2010s, somewhere in there. They just put out a new record like 2 years ago.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. Thank you for the addition to the program. All right. You have a story over at commercialappeal.com. Why perhaps the Louisville game may be a one-off. Why could it be a one-off?
It could be a one-off because how many other times, even as many issues as Memphis has defending the three-point shot, how many other times are we going to see a team make 18 three-pointers against Memphis? How many other times is Memphis going to play in front of, 18 or 19,000 people, like 90, probably 8% of them being Louisville fans. And I can keep going. Like, how many other times is Memphis going to play this season against the lottery pick? Who's not even the top scorer on his team. It feels like it's possible. I don't even want to say that. It feels like that was the Louisville game was the last, like the toughest game that Memphis has left on its schedule. And that includes tonight against Vanderbilt. I mean, nothing against Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt's really, really good. And even Penny said earlier this week that he thinks Vanderbilt's right in the same league as Louisville, but I'm not totally convinced of that. I do think Vanderbilt's very good, but Vanderbilt's undefeated, all that. They're one of 7 teams left in the country who still has not been beaten yet this season, but they've played one true road game and they haven't really, like, Louisville's played now Tennessee, which they got embarrassed in Knoxville last night, but they've now played, you know, they played Tennessee, they played Arkansas, they played Indiana. They Louisville's played a pretty tough schedule relative to Vanderbilt. So, you know, Vanderbilt, this will be just their second true road game. Their only other road game, I believe, is against UCF, and I'm pretty sure it was the second game of the season, so it's been a while since they played a true road game.
Saturday, November the 8th.
There you go. Which was Memphis's season
opener. Yes, Memphis's season opener, but you're correct. It was their second game after they played Lipscomb to open the season.
And Vanderbilt's really, really good. But I just think that what happened to Memphis is highly unlikely. Quite a few things that Memphis saw on Saturday, it's probably going to be the last time they see those things this season, at least in the regular season.
Yeah, so I wanted to make sure, and you might have included it, but 18 made threes is the most made threes against a Penny Hardaway team ever. The next closest was 17 from UTSA, but that game was also overtime.
It's the most three-pointers that Memphis has allowed since at least the 1996-97 season, at least.
As far back as the records could go.
Well, the sports information staff,
right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
During the game, they were able to work back as far as 96-97, and at that point, there still had not been a team that hit as many as 18 three-pointers against Memphis. So, yes, you mentioned UTSA. That was an overtime game two seasons ago that Memphis lost 107-104, and UTSA hit 17 three-pointers in that game. Again, needed overtime to get there. This just goes to my point. Like, all those three-pointers, the future kind of potential lottery pick that they faced, who, again, may not even be the most productive player on his team. Like, and of course, you know, going back to the three-pointers, you've got the guy who made three of them in a 129-second span, who had only made one in the previous six games this season. It's just there were some fluky things like that. But there also were, and we went over this on the podcast, there also were, you know, some signs from Memphis that might make you think that this wasn't just a one-off. That, you know, and I'm saying, like, the signs being the bad three-point defense, the total of zero assists from your starting lineup, zero, five players in your starting lineup, zero assists. And then of course, Memphis only made three-pointers for the second game in a row. It's back-to-back games with just three three-pointers for Memphis. They got away with it against Baylor. They did not get away with it against Louisville. Not sure it would have made a difference. Memphis could have hit 15 three-pointers. You know, who knows if that would have mattered. And then of course, just the general, it's like when they get their win taken out of their sails, you don't have to look hard to find it. I'm not going to say they quit, because I don't think they quit. I really don't. And it should be noted, you know, when we're talking about this Louisville game, yeah, it got real bad. Memphis trailed by as many as 30 points at one point in the game. But you know what? Like, they were only down by 8 points with like 5 minutes and something left in the first half. Like, they were still in it. They were still in it pretty deep into the first half. So it wasn't like the Auburn game, the exhibition game against Auburn. It wasn't like that, where it was just from the moment the ball was tipped, it was over. But yeah, like I said, once Louisville started hitting those three-pointers with like 6 or 7 minutes left in the first half, where it was just one after another, after another, after another, and it was just like, what is going on here? That's when you saw the Tigers kind of just be like, all right, well, we're not even going to worry about the game plan anymore. We're just going to do our own thing. And that's troubling too. So, yeah, I mean, again, there are things that I saw that would suggest that this was just one of those things where you just chalk it up to it was their day and it wasn't our day and that's it. But there are some other things, and Penny's spoken about them multiple times since that game, where it's like, we really got to work on our communication on defense, and we really got to work on our toughness.
Well, I think to your point, if you would have told me the final score, I don't think I would have expected the box score that we saw. Usually, when Memphis gets beat like that, it's usually the turnovers were in the 20s, leading to just all the fast breaks. They get killed on the glass. Like, it wasn't really those things, but I do think you're right. It did feel like late in the first half and definitely into the second half, it was kind of hero ball trying to get back into the game. And because of that approach, like, they never really got back into it.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like this this thought process took hold and got contagious up and down the rotation, where it was like, all right, we tried it your way for 15 minutes, and look at where we are now. We're down 19. So we're just gonna do what we feel comfortable doing, and that's not necessarily that doesn't necessarily match up with what the game plan is. So I don't know. That's the way it felt and the way it looked to me. But I mean, yeah, listen, like, Memphis got outscored at the 3-point line 54-9.
Yeah. And then to your point, like, with no assists on made baskets for the Tigers, 24 out of 30 of Louisville's baskets were assisted.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, again, you brought up the box score. You look at the thing and it's like Memphis, I think Memphis outscored them in second chance points and outscored them in the paint and outscored them, you know, like, they did. There was some, like, there wasn't anything that necessarily, besides the three-pointers, the lopsided three-pointer situation, there wasn't anything that just jumped out when it was like, oh, well, no wonder they lost by 26 points. But, I mean, you know, again, when you get outscored 54-9 at the three-point line, that's enough. That's all you need.
It definitely had some NBA vibes, where you can usually on the NBA just go get the final stat sheet and just go look at three-point shooting, and you're like, all right, well, that's usually the team that wins. It kind of felt like that.
Yeah, and I mean, so it's not going – I don't think, you know, it's just not going to be that way. Or, you know, Memphis has shown at least on one occasion this season and very recently that they don't have to light it up from three to win. I mean, it's, again, they made 3 3-pointers.
I'm not sure they can.
Against Baylor. What? Oh, can light it up
for
three?
Like, yeah, I do. I agree with you that they can beat you. I almost think that that's the way they need to be. I don't know if I want to see Memphis taking 23s.
That is another conversation, because they have not – it's like, compared to last year, it's borderline night and day from a three-point shooting standpoint. It's like it's a struggle for this team. And not saying they can't hit them. Quante Berry, I think, is shooting 37 or 38%. Julius Thedford, I think, is shooting 40-something percent, almost 47%. Obviously, he's hurt right now. But like, they just don't shoot a ton of threes because that's just not who they are. You know,
Thedford, I'm showing 43.8. So pretty good memory there, buddy.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I think Doug has hit the most, and he's probably taken the most three-pointers.
Correct. Zach Davis is second, by the way.
In made or taken?
Taken, please. We're talking about elite shot takers right now, not shot makers.
Right. So yeah, I mean, like, I'm just not sure that this deep into the season, you know, the sample size, I feel like, is big enough to where we kind of know who we are. At this point, if you're the Tigers, you know who you are at this point. And it's just, they're going to have to lean into the other things. Like, they're not going to be able to keep up with you. If you're going to go out and hit 12 plus 3-pointers a game, you know, that's Memphis is just not going to be able to go up against you with that, you know, in that area. So,
So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see because, I mean, Vanderbilt is another really good three-point shooting team. Their top guy is a 6'7 dude who's shooting like 49% on 70 attempts. They've got some shooters. Vanderbilt does. We'll see if they can do it on the road. We'll see if they can do it against Memphis' defense. But again, you know, going back to one of the points we were talking about earlier, it's like Memphis has to figure something out defensively. And Penny swears that it's the communication that they just did a very poor job communicating against Louisville, and that's what led to so many wide open shots on the perimeter. If they can clean that up, maybe that'll help slow Vanderbilt down, but we'll see.
All right, forgive the bad radio question, but if they go 2-0 this week, are they back in the at-large picture in your mind?
I don't know if that's enough. I mean,
it still feels pretty thin, right? Because what we'd be talking about, the resume would be largely a Baylor win, a Vandy win at home, and then a Mississippi State win on the road, which right now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's quad two, right? Even if they haven't gone 2-0, but I'm even just trying to say, like, okay, let's play the hypothetical game. That's right. Still pretty thin.
I think so, because to me, I would say yes, but they have to run through the.
Yeah, we're talking like 16-2 at worst, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they would, even going.
Even then, don't they feel kind of bubbly?
Still, yeah. I mean, like, because they do still have that game against Utah State on the road.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
In February. So there's still another decent chance, you know, another chance at a decent resume type thing. That's still out there for the taking, I'm still at the point where it's like, even if they beat Vanderbilt tonight, and even if they go to Starkville and win that game, there's still just not a ton of meat there. I mean, yeah, 16-2, possibly 15-3, but like those 15 wins better be all convincing. They better be all, you know, well played.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.